Everyone, apple season is right around the corner, and in this episode of the Mayor's Table, we have some historians here to talk about the importance of the apple orchards to the city of Farmington and San Juan County. Everyone, Farmington Mayor Nate Duckett, thank you for joining us for another episode of the Mayor's Table. A lot's changed here in the city of Farmington over the past 100, 150 years, 1,000 years. We wanted to talk today a little bit about the economy that was driving people to Farmington, so to speak, back in the late 1800s, 1900s. So with me today, I have two special guests. We have Bart Wilsey, the director of the Farmington Museum Network.
Thank you, Mayor.
Yes, and Mayor Tom Taylor. Welcome, Tom.
Nice to be here.
It's great to have you here. So, Bart and Tom, I wanted to just bring you guys in as you have a wealth of knowledge and history of the area and understanding if we wanted to have a discussion with folks so they could get a full breath of what the apple meant to Farmington and San Juan County, you know, 100, 150 years ago. So here we are. Apples.
Apples.
So, Bart, we have some good information, actually, and I got to guess probably the museum has some pretty cool stuff that kind of details what that history looked like. I went back into this awesome website called newsarchive.com and was pulling up some old Farmington Times Hustler articles. This one is from Friday, September 7th, 1923. And in it, it states San Juan County apple crop estimated at 175 to 200 cars, which would be rail cars, which seems like a substantial harvest.
It is.
Yeah.
There were lots of trees.
Lots of trees.
Yes.
So I think we had mentioned and talked before about William Locke, and he was kind of the father of apples here. Is that right?
He was the Johnny Appleseed of Farmington.
Okay.
Literally. He brought the first fruit trees to Farmington either in 1878 or 79. There's a little bit of controversy about what year that was, but, you know, very early on. And they mentioned him bringing apple trees from Florence, Colorado, which is where he moved from, and then the next year, 1879, he brought a whole wagon load of apple trees from Santa Fe by buckboard.
Okay.
So that's where he brought the first ones, and he laid out his first orchard way outside of town. And Tom knows this because we talked about it before. Is, you know, he planted these way outside of town. Well, it's where KFC is now on Butler Avenue.
Way outside of town. Yeah.
Like, so he laid out his first 80-acre orchard right there.
Right off of Main Street.
Right off
Main
of
Street and Butler.
Yep.
And I think, Tom, he had 86 varieties of apples?
Wasn't it?
65 we've been able to document within our research there at the museum. And we've... you know, got a whole running list of those, but 65 varieties of apples.
I don't think I even knew there were 65 varieties of apples.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got some apples here today, and it's interesting because, you know, this is the cosmic apple, which has got to be a hybrid of, you know, some major, you know, forms of apples.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, there is a bunch of different kinds of apples.
Yep.
You know, I imagine that they did that because starting new orchards here, they probably did a number of varieties to see which ones perform the best in this environment here, you know.
Sure.
Trees are interesting, you know. Some of them don't do well at higher altitudes, for instance, and freezing and thawing when they blossom and form fruit and all of that sort of thing. So I imagine it was to kind of pick out which ones were the ones that did the best.
Yep.
And obviously some did very well.
Yeah.
In that group.
Yeah, what do we know about that part? I mean, which ones ended up being the major the major kinds?
You know, there are a lot of different kinds that have flourished in the valley. You know, the Red Delicious and Golden Delicious were kind of staples for a long time, but you know, they had cider apples, they had all different
Jonathan
kinds.
Apples,
Jonathan,
which were a small,
wine
very
sap,
tart apple. Grimes Golden.
Rome Beauty.
Right.
The stuff I found, so the good thing during that time is obviously you had these big orchards, and they also had a way to transport them out of here. Pretty critical. They had a railroad.
Right, yeah. Right.
And I actually found an article where they were talking about, this is from 1911, the FANG Railroad will be built. Top headline.
Yeah.
And they had these great commentary from people who were in this meeting in Durango, all talking about the importance to the orchard industry that they get this railroad built.
Right.
Yeah, and right. It's incredible to me that we're talking about railroad today. And actually, I went back 30 years, August 26, 1993, front page of the paper, railroad spur from Gallup was on the front page of the paper. And one of the products or one of the things they wanted to ship on that railroad was trash from Los Angeles County to New Mexico. 1993, you got to look this up. It was incredible. But I digress. We're talking about apples.
Yeah.
But just how important the rail was to that industry.
Well, it was. It was hugely important, you know, and it coming in 1905 just provided a way to be able to get the produce out of here. And during the, you know, the harvest season, they were shipping 3 train car loads a day of apples out of here.
Wow.
That's a lot of apples.
Well, and think of the markets that made it to.
Oh, my gosh.
Chicago and New York.
Yep.
San Francisco.
Yep. We we were the Washington apple of, you know.
Yeah. I wonder how it compared to Washington back then.
I'm not even sure they were going at that.
I don't know if
point.
They were or not.
Probably not. I think they surpassed us, you know, later on in the 30s and 40s.
Well, didn't we see somewhere there was 500,000 bushels of apples that were produced in one of the harvests, and they talked about that only half of those were market apples. The rest had to be used for other other
purposes.
Apple goods. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But that's a bushel is a
that's a lot.
That's a lot of apples.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they also had right next to the depot fruit warehouse where they stored the fruit, and then they built a dehydrating plant. So they would dehydrate the fruit, can it, and then ship it out by rail. So
yeah, the cannery was...
The cannery, yep.
I don't know, or during those early years.
Right.
It burned down in the same year that our old lumberyard burned.
Really?
And it was the same dude that set it on fire.
So. Was that the same fires that took down City Hall and the fire station and all that?
No, those different? Were...
Those were 1911, I thought.
Those were later than that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what the dates were of that.
Couldn't do that now because now they'd all have to have sprinklers in them.
Yeah.
And they'd be so expensive, nobody would build them anyway. But yeah, so I mean, this was big business, not just for Farmington, I think for San Juan County.
Yeah.
And I heard somewhere that before New Mexico became a state, that our area, we were trying to be incorporated into Colorado as Orchard County, Colorado. Any truth to that?
Could be. There are several designs for the boundaries of the four states, of the four corners, and... one of them, actually, they were linear states that all had coastline on the Pacific. So Utah, New Mexico, Arizona, and Colorado all had ports on the West Coast.
Were we at the bottom of that?
You know,
the four?
I don't remember the arrangement.
Yeah. Interesting.
It seemed that Arizona was
that.
The one on the Mexican border.
Okay.
Lucky them.
Yeah. Could you imagine what California would be like today if we all had access?
Our capital would probably be Flagstaff,
right?
If that happened, because Santa Fe was in a different state. So,
very interesting. Bart, what other information did you bring along?
You know, one of the things that kind of happened early on is we actually became very well known for real high quality fruit. And, you know, William Locke and others, they started at the territorial fair, but went on to, when New Mexico became a state, they entered them into the New Mexico State Fair. And we, you know, Farmington won a lot of awards for different kinds of produce that were grown here. So they pretty much swept the prize money. Wow. So it's pretty interesting to go back and look at some of those old photographs and read about some of the things that happened back
right.
then. So,
well, I think the big reason the area I think grew out of that is we have 50,000 acres of irrigated land because we had multiple rivers flowing through here,
right?
Mm-hmm. That they were able to take advantage of.
Yep. Almost as soon as people started settling here, they started digging ditches and irrigating from those, and that's what did it.
If you look at the some of these old maps of Farmington, if you look underneath the streets, the number of ditches that exist in the city is really incredible. When we were doing work at 20th and Sullivan, when they got into that intersection, it was such a mishmash of all sorts of different utilities and ditch infrastructure, and it's really cool to see how all that came to fruition.
You know, it's interesting what portion of it is there, and it's kind of treated like a stepchild, when it really should be treated as a historical marker for the city. And, rather than plugging them off and undoing laterals and that sort of thing, we really ought to be doing just the opposite. Going, hey, you guys want to use to water your yard or something like that? And, and make that available to people that used to be there. I know we've, where I used to live on La Plata Street, which is just up the hill from the original orchard there, all of those yards along there were watered by a little lateral off the ditch that's just up the road a ways.
There's still a bunch that exists, so I wonder, some of those that have closed down, was it just a matter of finances? The companies couldn't keep the infrastructure up, the ditches went away?
Well, the difficulty is the water rights that are owned on them. If you use them, you don't use them, you lose them. And the ditch companies that are there, they all struggle because, they've got some end users. I mean, the ditches go all the way through town, and they're up into the glade area and all of that. So, we really ought to think about them differently and celebrate them rather than trying to figure out how to
cover them up,
get them off of our problem list.
But there's certainly some issues that we're dealing with right now.
Yeah,
with some of the ditches, because it's. Their infrastructure is not up to par, and it's unfortunately for their users, it's caused some problems, which has led to some yards being, not watered, and city water's not cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cheap in relative to other things, but
right.
In the summertime, it certainly can get up there.
Nice thing about ditches is, not only you get your yard watered, but all those weeds and things come in too.
the
only downside of the irrigation side of it.
So in 1938, what was this? During the past year, it was estimated that Bernie Williams, county agent of San Juan County, New Mexico, the apple crop in this county was 10 to 15% less than 1938. The total apple production in the United States amounts to 150 million bushels a year, and San Juan Basin grows approximately 500 bushels annually. So there you go. That's how we compared.
Yeah.
But then things changed, Bart.
But during the 30s and 40s, I mean, there were umpteen orchards here. I mean, the White Orchard, the Hyde Exploring Expedition had an orchard. I mean, there were orchards everywhere, and I mean, Farmington is really flush with orchards.
Yeah, 20th Street was a dirt road that had orchards both sides of it.
All the way along it.
Half mile both directions, all the way out.
All the way out, Apache.
Tell
us, when you were a kid, tell a story about where you would travel, and I mean, it was just orchard.
Well,
after
you know,
orchard.
I lived on La Plata Street where Casablanca is. Was my
is that what
home.
They called the Farmington Peninsula? Was that because I've seen that phrase used a lot?
The Farmington Peninsula is the area between the Animas and San Juan rivers.
Oh,
so that's
okay.
what they call the peninsula.
Okay. There we go.
Yep.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's you know, up on the shelf, just above Main Street. Above where the original orchard was. Mm-hmm. When I was young, my first memory is when I was four of the quarantine sign on the front door of my house because my mother had polio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
In 1952. Mm-hmm. But, you know, starting when I was 5 or 6 years old, we spent a long time with my friends hiking all over the areas. And to get out of town, we would hike up to where the Drake Ranch is now. It was the Huntington Ranch at the time in the middle of nowhere, and it was through apple orchards all the way up to there, and then climb on the hill where the graves are up there next to the golf course. We'd go up there and eat our lunch and then find a new route back home. But it was all apples through there. Even as late as when I was in junior high and high school, there were still apple trees on the Vine Street area, and some of them were some very old trees that were probably of that original orchard.
Probably.
Across from the post office when they built the subdivision there, they designed it so that they had an apple tree in the front and the backyard of all of the houses.
Yep.
And so they left quite a few of them in there. I drove through there the other day just to see if maybe there's a few 120-year-old trees there, but
yeah.
I don't think any of them are left.
Mm. Wow. You know, but going up through the 30s and 40s and even into the 50s, you know, 1950, there were still only 3,500 people in Farmington.
Right.
Very small, you know, agricultural community, and then you know, by 1960, that's over 23,000.
Well, it was in 54. In 1954, there were 3,500 people.
Mm-hmm.
And then the gas line was completed to California.
Yep.
And so in the next 6 years, it grew to 23,000.
Wow.
And that was basically the beginning of the end.
And that was
for the, because everybody
so
was selling
So they started
their
eating
property.
The trees as well as the apples.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, everybody started selling their properties off for housing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the city really just started taking off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a crazy time.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then there was, too, the thing that went along with that were just huge booms and busts. 1960, we were 23,000 people. And then in 66, late there in the 70s, we lost, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10,000 people. And it was that kind of an economy for a long period of time, up and down and up and down, until 1982, when the mall happened, and somebody realized there was a Kmart store in this little town of 32,000 people that was in the top 10 producing Kmarts in the country. And they went, what the heck? And so they came in and did the demographics and just couldn't understand how it was working until somebody realized, whoops, we got to count three other states, 26 counties, 26 mm-hmm. communities, and I think 17 counties that were in this radius right here, and it was 250,000 people that were shopping in Farmington. And so when that happened, this whole retail thing that has never stopped, you know, and now we're racing to become the only city in the world with every fast food company having a store here.
is that the mission that we're on?
I guess.
I mean, it feels that way.
I think we're becoming the fast food capital of the world. I mean,
per capita.
How many ways can you cook chicken?
I don't know. Per capita. I'm waiting for the Culvers. What are we missing here? Canes, Culvers. You want me to start writing some letters, Tom? Yeah. We've got space.
Yeah, White Castle.
White Castle. We need an In-N-Out burger. No, it's interesting to see how this community has kind of grown from that.
Yeah.
And managed to what we do, you know, now to manage those boom and bust cycles because we have such a strong retail core business here. And it's just like you said, still right now. I mean, they're building new fast food places, new Starbucks coffee shops. I mean,
what's interesting is if you looked at it now, it'd be interesting to see how many apple orchards we have in the greater Farmington, which is the includes the other three states. I mean, there's a lot of apples still here in the valley.
Oh, yeah.
In places. Mm-hmm. But also in Colorado, Utah, and Arizona, for that matter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, we have the, gosh, what's the name of the place in Montezuma County? The
Montezuma Orchard Restoration Project. Yep. They're doing a lot of research on old apple orchards, fruit orchards. Mm-hmm. And if you have a tree, you can actually take cuttings off of it and send it to them and register your tree, and they will genome it for you. They will figure out what variety it is.
Yeah.
Grandma and grandpa.
Yep.
Yep.
So there's a lot of research that's being done, and, you know, unfortunately, Kirby is closing, so we're kind of losing our last commercial orchard. But you know, there's a whole new kind of resurgence in you know, the agricultural industry, the food
local
hub,
farmers and the food hub.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
I
so
think there's 4,500 farms in San Juan County still.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the food hub has been a tremendous boost to that.
Yep.
To that group, because now you can order online. Also, mm-hmm. As it ties into our growers market at the museum, and then of course the other growers market and at Aztec and all those areas, they're getting a lot of, I think, front face marketing with the communities. And if you go to the museum on a Saturday morning, I mean, there's hundreds of people there.
Yeah. Yep.
And I kick myself every time that I don't think about it, because that's where I would prefer to go buy all of those, you know, those goods.
Exactly.
They'll support the locals.
Support the local folks that are growing.
Yeah. But we got the commercial kitchen that's going in at the food hub downtown, so that people, you know, if they got an orchard, they want to go make apple products. Mm-hmm. You've got a commercial kitchen where you can create those products, sell those products.
Yep. You know, it's interesting because big farms, big family farms, have the problem that farming is not an easy business. You know, you work your day for sure, and it's difficult because a lot of those are running out of farmers' daughters and farmers' sons.
Sure.
And you know, difficult when they watch dad and mom sweating their brow all the time, going, gee, I don't know if I want to do this
struggling
for a living. Yeah. But anyway, it's interesting how the resurgence is, and the fact that competing is really difficult with the giant farms and their machinery and all of that sort of thing, where in local areas like this, we're starting to see this resurgence because you find you can make a little extra money having a great little farm, and it's fun to do when it's on that kind of a scale.
Mm-hmm. Manageable. Yeah,
yep.
And still have your other job that you're, you know, that you work full time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, but that was the deal. I mean, so much of our daily life was created out of the farming lifestyle. You know, the school year, the way the school year falls, and you know, mom and dad were having as many kids as they could because they needed hands on the farm to help manage that whole bit.
It's great. Boy, this time of year, I eat so much corn.
Well, I found it interesting. I don't know if I printed it out, but it talked about during, it was in the 1940s, just the contribution. Yeah, here we go. San Juan farmers produced a lot of food for Victory this past season. So these were some of the harvest. Brothers Family harvest 17,000 bushels of apples. Troy King's Cattle Ranch here ships 200 head of cattle to market this fall. Wes Oliver of Aztec is San Juan's new onion king. Good job, Wes. County ships 307 cars of lambs to market. Farmington's D&RGW station is an important shipping point for the county. Yeah, so it was just kind of fun to see all these. Frank McClure makes fair apple crop at Bloomfield. you know, these are just full front page articles about this agricultural community.
And that's what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to see some. I'm glad we're seeing that resurgence come back.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's something. I mean, is there anything, you know, Farmington could be doing like Montezuma County and just adding some more emphasis to places where people could develop some land and grow apples? I know the people down in Harper Valley, they got a ton of apples growing on those trees. You can't,
you know,
trim those trees enough.
One of the things is it's interesting how, you know, most cities as they developed around their rivers, place to dump their waste, and, you know, usually ended up industrial rather than like we do with them today.
Right.
And so there's, you know, all this resurgence and bringing that back. That's where those fertile lands are, is around the rivers. And so there is an opportunity, you know, to have programs where you get farms along the river that have access to the water and that sort of thing. And, you know, so families can have a little plot or something.
I bet Bonnie Hopkins has some information on that from the NMSU Agriculture Department.
There's a bunch. I think I found some old trees, by the way.
Oh, cool. We'll go out and check them out.
They're across the river from the Marriott on the old Merrill Kimpton property.
Oh, really?
It's over there.
They're around. You just got to know where to scout them out.
I don't know if they're still alive, but they're pretty wrinkled.
Interesting. Well, gentlemen, what else? Anything else on this apple history that once was Farmington? drove the economy, made us world renowned for our big red apples?
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, for me, it was just the sheer enormity of it. And, you know, I've been going out and doing some research on kind of some of the historic views of some of the orchards and where they were. And one I found in particular is really interesting. I found this shot of a historic photograph that the museum had. And then this is the Farmington Library.
That's pretty cool.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, that is incredible.
It's just mind-blowing.
Just how things change and grow, you know? And I actually saw this before, and I was looking for that tree right off of Farmington and trying to place it if it was there at the time. That tree is old.
Let me see it. Is it there?
The one in Farmington Avenue, right by the library?
The famous tree. That road is still on the same alignment.
Isn't that crazy?
It's very possible that weed growing in the middle there is it.
That's right. That's one of my favorite roads in town, mostly because I love the
meandering. We'd have to do some measurements to see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it was interesting because Mary Fisher was on the council at the time, and she wanted to save the tree. And, oh, man, the Public Works Department, we don't need a tree in the middle of the road there. And So I joined in with Mary, and so it was 2-3 to keep the tree. But I was mayor, so I trumped him.
Well, glad you did.
I said, yeah, we ought to keep that tree. It's had a hard life, and we ought to just keep it for a while. It's got a few good years left in it.
You know, City Council just added Orchard Park to its list of capital improvement projects, you know, as a part of the downtown renovation. We need to probably do some apple trees in that park. I think would be
to consider. The Blue Man Group? It's not the Blue Man Group, the folks that did the downtown design for the roundabouts and everything. I had suggested that we just do apple trees all over Maine. I said, oh, you know, they're messy.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, but you can eat the mess.
It's true.
Anyway,
yeah,
it would have been cool to have several apple trees here and there, but
I think we got another shot at it.
Yeah,
do something with the park. We've got a great festival that we're, you know, creating. Tom, you and Bev have helped put some stuff together.
Yep,
you want to talk about that?
Well, you know, the apple festival was dreamed up as a result of part of the downtown improvement, where we needed some additional festival in the downtown area during that time, and so that was born. It's in its infancy yet. We kind of combined with the chili cook-off, and so one day is the Apple Fest, and the next day is the chili cook-off, and that's coming up in
October 7th. October, yep. 6th and yeah. 7th, I think, is the dates on that. Yeah, I'll be cooking some chili up for the chili festival.
Well,
and I think they're last year
was going to be picking some apples too.
Well, I heard last year they had the apple pie contest or an apple dessert contest.
Apple dessert, yeah.
So hopefully we have that.
We talked to all the restaurants about having an apple specialty of some kind.
Yeah.
And
one of those old newspaper articles I found, there was these old newspapers are great because they're just gossip rags. I mean, this is where, and Tom's grandfather's in every one of them, so he was all over the place. But it mentions a gentleman who came from San Francisco, and his comment on the city was, well, if I had, you know, if the apple is the key to your economy, why isn't every restaurant and every hotel offering some sort of special apple dish of some kind?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a pretty good take on things. Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely what we should be doing.
Yep.
And that was 1925.
Great things you can do with these things. I mean, you think about the number of recipes that you can do with apples, and it's way out there.
Well, I know you have a special recipe, Tom, that you like. You like your boiled apples.
Yeah, mine are called stewed apples.
Stewed apples.
It's halfway to applesauce, and you take them off at just the right time when the slices are starting to turn clear, but they're still crunchy. And then you just cool them down, and so you eat them, and they're crunchy. It's not total sauce. Hmm. So that's good. The other one is the cinnamon apples, where you peel it and core it, and then bake it in the oven and in a bath of red hots that are melted into the water. And they suck it all up and turn red and are just to die for. Good Christmas treat that goes along with it.
That was one of my favorite things my mom made as a kid, is she would do the cinnamon apple pies with the red the red candy cinnamons.
And it's hard to beat just a plain old apple pie.
Yeah.
I mean.
Mm-hmm. It's an American. It's American as apple pie.
It is.
Yep.
It is.
That's awesome. Well, gentlemen, thanks for joining me today. Talk about the history of the apple in Farmington.
Thanks for having us.
Put us off to a great start.
Yeah.
And,
So enjoy the apples this fall here in Farmington. We've got the Apple and Chili Festival going on October 6th and 7th. And we want to eat the apples. We're thinking about it.
I think we ought to close it with a bite.
I think we should. We should. So get out there. Check out all the different varieties of apples that are available. Go out to the growers market. See what we're growing here locally. Support those local farmers. Check out the food hub. You can do that through San Juan College's website as well as the downtown shop. So this apple is for you. We'll see you next time here on the Mayor's Table. Let's go.
Right.
Such a good apple.
They're just good.